Well, praise the Lord. He is so good. So good to us. I'm glad this is the God we serve, not some of the gods that other religions, that they're not gods anyway. God that would stoop that low, take all our punishment we deserved on himself. It's amazing. Truly is amazing. Thank you for everybody for your part, each part this morning. It's just good to be together with brothers and sisters in God's presence. And I'm going to be needing somebody to read the chapter that we're looking at today, 2 Timothy chapter 3. There are 17 verses. They're not hard. There's only two names in there that are a little funky. Janus and Jimbries. So other than that, it's pretty easy. But we're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 3 today. And I know Barry mentioned this last week, but I thought it was worth mentioning again that this was written by Paul in an underground Roman dungeon. Dark, dank, nasty. I couldn't believe the smells in a place like that because they don't have facilities for bathrooms and stuff. This is different than his house arrest that he was under earlier, where he was chained to a Roman soldier, but he was in a rented house and he had people come in and out all the time. This was a lot different situation. I mean, he was in dire circumstances, harshly treated, terrible conditions, very few freedoms. His friends could only see him with great difficulty. And he knew he was near death. And what was on his mind? Not himself. Paul's an amazing guy. What was on his heart was the church and his son Timothy. Son Timothy in the Lord. And he wrote this letter from this dungeon to encourage Timothy and to remind him of his responsibilities to carry on the faith, to be faithful through hardships, desertions, and errors. And so as we read this letter, keep that in mind, that this is this old apostle that's pouring out his heart from a terrible place, and yet heart's just so full of wisdom and love. So we're going to be reading 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, which is basically the whole chapter. So,
but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over gullible women, who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jabez opposed Moses, so also these teachers oppose the truth. They are men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far, because as is in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, and the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Lord, we thank you for this, your word, which is the truth. Holy Spirit, we ask you now to take it and move in each of our hearts as we each need it. You alone know. You alone know. Lord, take these words of mine and make them full of life. We thank you that for the people that have gone before us, like Paul, who endured great hardships for your kingdoms, for your glory. Help us to be encouraged by this, Lord, and not discouraged. Let Jesus receive glory, we pray in his name. Amen. Thanks, Kathy. So here's Paul pouring out his heart to Timothy and to us. And it's about this increasing evil that's coming about in the world, in society. You know, it's interesting. This letter is written almost 2,000 years ago. But it's so relevant for today. It's like, how could he have known that? Well, that's the Scriptures. That's just how they are. They're living and they're alive, and it's God's word for us now. And it never runs out. It never gets old. And never outdated. The truth is, basic human nature does not change, does it? No, not really. And Paul says, know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Not they might come. They will come. In other words, don't be naive. As the end approaches, these perilous times are going to be there. Grievous times. I looked up perilous. It means grievous, painful times, dangerous times, difficult times. Doesn't sound like good news to me, does it? But the phrase when he says, in the last days, this will happen. Well, the last days is kind of an interesting term. It's the last days is between Christ's death and resurrection and when he comes back again. So we're in the last days now. Paul was in the last days. And that's why he says this. Paul was calling the last days in his own lifetime. So if Paul thought it was the last days in his lifetime, we're in the last hours of the last minutes of the last days now, 2,000 years later. I mean, hello, right? Sobering. So we should not be surprised when we hear the news reports and read it in the newspaper and about perilous times. We were told they will come. And then Paul goes on to describe what the people will be like in these times. And he starts with saying, lovers of themselves. Now, loving yourself is not a bad thing. God does not want you to hate yourself. He wants you to take care of yourself and to love yourself. What Paul's talking about here is people that only love themselves, that are self-absorbed people. That's what we're talking about. And I had to think of Barry also when I read this, because I read it in the Messenger, and I thought, I'll read it from the Message. It says, they will be money-hungry, self-promoting, stuck-up, profane, irreverent, disobedient to parents, crude, coarse, dog-eat-dog, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers. That means when you lie about somebody to damage your reputation. Impulsively wild, savage, cynical, distrustful, treacherous, ruthless, bloated windbags. Addicted to lust, allergic to God. They'll make a show of religion. They'll put on a good show. But behind the scenes are animals, is how the word message says it. Stay clear of these people. Man, are we seeing that today, huh? Boy. It's like he's reading the headlines, huh? Imagine that, the Word of God, knowing it's going to happen thousands of years later. And then Paul refers in verse 6 to these false teachers who are smooth talkers, who deceive gullible women. There's gullible men too, who always seem to be learning but get exploited and never really learn the truth. And Paul compares these false teachers to these two Egyptian priests who opposed Moses. I don't know if you remember that story or not, but Moses said, I can take my walking stick and make it become a serpent. And these guys did it with their sticks, but Moses' snake ate theirs. So they had some demonic kind of power, but their names were Jannes and Jambres. And Paul compares these false teachers to them, because these men opposed the truth of God. They had depraved minds, and their folly will be clear to everyone, the word says. So Paul's intention of bringing these two guys up, this Jannes and Jambres, is an illustration of widespread, active rejection of truth in the last days, which we clearly see happening today. People do not want to know the truth. It's a sad thing. Then in verses 10 through 13, Paul encourages Timothy by saying, you have carefully followed me in my teachings, my manner of living, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, and perseverance. Boy, those are great attributes to follow like Paul in those ways. Hopefully we're doing the same thing. And then Paul goes on to recall some of those persecutions and afflictions he endured at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. If you remember, Paul was actually stoned in Antioch. I mean, they actually, I believe, left him for dead. And the church gathered around him. Now, it doesn't say they prayed, but I believe they prayed for him. And he got back up and went back in the city and preached again. Isn't that crazy? I mean, he just got stoned. He thought he was dead. Now, he could have been dead and been resurrected by their prayers. I don't know. But either way, it was miraculous because he got up, walked back in after being stoned, and they thought he was dead, gets up and goes back into the town and preaches again. I mean, those people must have been like... And that was just the start of Paul's persecutions. I mean, you name it, it was done to him. I mean, he was scourged, imprisoned, beaten, spent many nights without sleep, without food, shipwrecked. Paul went through all this to proclaim Jesus to people, to tell people about Jesus, our wonderful Lord and Savior. And then in verse 11 says this, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. We have a deliverer, and his name is Jesus. He is faithful. We don't know what we'll be going through in our lives yet. But Paul says, out of them all. Paul knew that he would not be dying before God was done with him. And so he just remained faithful. And then he says this sobering verse in verse 12. All who desire to live godly lives in Christ will suffer persecution. Not may, but will. So welcome to your future. It's not one of those messages you want to hear, is it? Now, we may not endure the same kind of things Paul went through. Let's hope not. But we too will face things because we're being true to the Lord. We'll be ridiculed, insulted, discriminated against. Who knows all what may come our way. When we choose to live godly lives and to honor Jesus and honor God's word, it's going to get harder and harder. And in verse 13, Paul clearly says that in the last days, evil men or evil people and imposters, that means they're pretending to be somebody they're not, will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's sobering stuff. Imposter is a person that pretends to be somebody they're not. Supposed church leaders, teachers pretending to follow God when they're not. Sobering words here from the scripture today. And again, we clearly see this happening today. This is nothing new. It's in the world, but it's also in the church. And this whole idea of deception and self-deception, it's a horrible thing, deception. Think about that. Of course, the main form of deception is from the deceiver himself, Satan, the father of lies. Jesus says this about Satan in John 8:44. Satan does not stand for the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. He is a liar and the father of it. Father of lies. So that's the source of all lies. That's where it comes from. Here in 1 Timothy 4, Paul talked to Timothy earlier about lying spirits or demons who lead many astray. Of course, they're just working for Satan, so to speak. And in verse 13 of our text today, Paul says, there are evildoers and imposters who will deceive many. A lot of people being deceived today. A lot. And they don't know it. That's the thing about deception. That's so horrible. And perhaps the most insidious of these things is self-deception. You're deceiving yourself. That sounds funny. The Bible says this about deception. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Our own hearts deceive us. The prophet Obadiah identifies arrogance as some of the roots of self-deception. He says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Our pride always blinds us to the truth. It promises honor, but delivers disgrace. In Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. James in the New Testament, 1:22, also warns us against deceiving ourselves, which is the heart of our text for today from 2 Timothy 3. James says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. That's a sobering thing. Listen to that. He says, don't just listen to what the word is saying. So deceive yourselves, but do what it says. If you don't do what it says, you're deceiving yourself. If you just hear it. And then David wrote this in Psalms 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. That's a key, isn't it? Yeah. And Jesus prayed for his disciples and prayed for us this prayer. Sanctify them through your truth. Your word is truth. And just know that we can sit in church every Sunday for years, listen to sermon after sermon after sermon, but if you never take what is preached and allow it to change you, what good is it? Right? you're self-deceived. Or you can read the Bible from cover to cover, but unless you put what it says into practice, you're deceiving yourself. That can happen. So, knowing the truth and holding the truth in your mind is not necessarily something that's going to change who you are or your character. Again, James 1:23-24 says, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. In other words, the illustration is this. If you go and look at yourself in the mirror and your hair is all messed up, it's not going to do you any good unless you get a comb or a brush and do something, right? That's how it is with the word. If you go and read the word and you see things about yourself that God is addressing and you don't do anything about it, it's no help. And you're being deceived. You're deceiving yourself. The church in Laodicea was like this. It was a real church. They were victims of self-deception concerning who they really were and what they were really like. This is what they say in Revelation 3:17. It says, you say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. And then Jesus says this himself, red letters, do you not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked? They couldn't see it. I get like that sometimes. I can't see it. That's why we got to get in it and allow him to allow the Spirit to do his work in us. To avoid being deceived by others or self-deception, we need to do what James says. Look intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it. They will be blessed in what they do. So, to avoid deception and self-deception, read it, know it, meditate upon it, and put it into practice, what the things that he puts on your heart. And then back to our scripture for today, verses 14 through 17. And this is Paul urging Timothy on, you must continue in the things that you have learned and then been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And then this key verse here, talking about Scripture itself, all Scripture, all of it, is given by inspiration of God, or God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, which means teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's a beautiful scripture, talking about scripture. All scripture, every part of it. I hear people say different times, various places, I don't hear God speak. I don't know God's will. You ever heard anybody say those kinds of things? I can't hear God speak. I don't know God's will. God's word is God's voice. You want to hear God speak? Read his word. He's talking to you. Are we listening? I'm saying we. Am I listening? God's word's God's voice. People say, I don't know God's will. God's word is God's will. It's what he wants. We can't take it lightly. We can't ignore it. We can't ignore the parts that we don't agree with. I know some of you know about Thomas Jefferson. He had a Bible. And he also had a sharp penknife, and he cut out all the parts he didn't agree with or like. We see that happening today. Whole congregations just ignoring sections of Scripture they don't like, don't agree with. That's deception. You want to know God's will? It's right there. You want to hear his voice? It's right there. So continue. It's what Paul was saying to Timothy. Continue in it. So he's saying that to us. New beginnings. Continue in it. Don't lay it aside. Stick in there. It changes us. It changes our character. It counters all that deception that's out there in the world. Because it's the truth. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit when you read it. I don't know if you do this or not. I do. I say, Holy Spirit, help me to get this. I mean, you wrote it. I mean, you inspired this. You're the one that, you're the author of it. Help me understand what you're trying to say here. You think he's going to deny you? No, you just read it again, and bing, oh, yeah. Or he'll send you something, or somebody will email you something, or you'll get something in the mail. Somehow, he'll speak. If you ask those kinds of things, he will do it. He will do it. Yeah. So, the Word of God is so powerful. I mean, the day that God breathed it out, it's the same power that's there today. It is not diminished in power, one iota. I mean, it is power. All you got to do is speak the Word. There's something about it. The Word says that it will not turn empty or void. Whenever it's spoken, it will not return empty. He guarantees us that every time. You think you share a verse with a friend, you think, well, that didn't. No, the Word says it won't turn empty or void. I mean, it's like a seed. It'll stick there until it's time to germinate, and then, by golly, it's powerful in us and in others. And when we read it, the Holy Spirit will highlight prideful things in us. It'll show us things that we believe that are not true. It'll help us to avoid pitfalls of sin and its consequences. I mean, the Holy Spirit and God is not a crushing our fun times and stuff. He loves you too much. He just doesn't want you to fall into the traps that go along with it. All sin is candy-coated poison. It tastes so good at first, but it'll kill you. That's how it is. And so when you read the Word, he wants to protect us. That's why he wants us in there. Keep us from going astray. Correct us when we miss the mark. Helping us to do the things that are right for our good and for his glory. But more than all of that, this beautiful book is a love letter to us. We don't look at it like that, really, because there's a lot of harsh stuff in here. But it's a love letter. He loves us so much. He shows us through this Word how deep and how wide his love is. And it was shown to us through Jesus doing what he did for us. I'm going to end with this scripture that Paul wrote. Here's our dear author, well, the writer of this, wrote this out of Romans 8, 38 and 39. You know it, but we need to hear it. For I am persuaded, this is our Apostle Paul, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Lord, thank you so much for your Word. Thank you for these dear brothers that went before us that wrote these words down as your Spirit inspired them to do so. Thank you for Paul. Thank you for his example. And for his care for Timothy and for the church, for us. Thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. Thank you for the great blessing we have of having this Word of God. That we can actually read it and know it's the truth. Lord, forgive us when we get busy with life and we get lazy and we lay it aside and we don't read it as we should. Or we think, well, I guess I should read it and just feel obligated to just get in it for a little bit. Now I've done my duty or whatever. Lord, help us to get past it. Help us to open it up and to know it's you wanting to speak to us, you wanting to direct us, you wanting to encourage us. Oh, Lord, that we would look for the moment when we get a time to just steal away with you and open up your word and to hear your voice, to sense your love, your direction for us. And Lord, that we would then be able to go out and tell other people about your great love. Give us those appointments this week, Lord, that we wouldn't miss them, to be able to tell somebody about you, Jesus. You're so awesome. We pray these things in your name. Amen.